Hello, welcome to Tech It or Leave It, brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Use the offer code LEAVE69 to get a .com domain name for 69 pence. Now listen to this stuff. I think we want to jump right into the Amazon... I forgot the name already. Tube.
Echo.
Echo. Shit name. Pointless device.
Yeah.
Nick's just watched the video. It offended me, I mean, just from the point of view of someone who has once been involved in the making of videos for large corporations, it was a really twee and annoying video. And
it was about, well, the video was like 3 minutes long, and it was about a minute and a half too long.
Mm.
Well, maybe 2.5 minutes too long.
Having been watching a lot of Criminal Minds, I sat watching this Amazon video going, huh. All those episodes of Criminal Minds where the guy breaks into this family's house and kills them all. I get it now. That's what the Amazon video did for me. It's like, this family make me want to become a serial killer of families. They are so annoying. And the parents are fucking stupid people. When the mother, yes, in the video asked how many teaspoons in a tablespoon or whatever, Alison went mental at the TV.
Just
started screaming at it. How can you be alive that long and not know? You are fucking baking right now. Stupid woman. She got angry. Let's talk about this thing then. It's the Amazon Echo. It's a tube. I wasn't sure on the actual size. Like, if it was on my table, how big would it be?
It looks to be too big.
Yeah. I'm thinking kind of, and I actually have one here, large McDonald's cup. That actually may be bigger. And bearing in mind, I'm talking about a UK large McDonald's cup. Your mileage may vary.
I think it might be a bit bigger than that.
Well, it's actually, this is in inches on the ad that I'm looking at, but it's 9.25 inches by 3.25 inches. So, yeah, it's pretty big.
That's what she said. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I think of it like, you know, those energy drinks, the really big cans of energy drink. That's what I think of the size.
Yeah. And it's basically Siri in a tube. That's what it is, but arguably with less functionality and less portability. Basically, everything that makes Siri any good, removed.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd seen some articles argue that this is like the Star Trek Enterprise-ification of your home, where your home just has a computer and you can just ask the home computer things, but I didn't see it happening this way. I'd still think that's coming from Apple or Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it would link into the Apple or Google stuff that I already had or used, and Amazon aren't going to be the ones to do this and link it up with my Amazon Fire phone. Soon at -£10 each. I'm really down on this one. Sorry, Amazon. I think it's an awful, awful, awful idea. I can't imagine why you've made it or any of these things. How are there two? What do the two buttons do? The video didn't go into that.
Well, there's one that's. Hang on, let me find the video again. Amazon.
Well, one is a microphone on and off button, and the other one is an action button. Whatever the action button does.
All right.
A dot or something.
Well, it's an action button. I was expecting you to say it was a power button.
And why have I gone backwards suddenly?
Can you?
You sound fine to me.
Oh, right. It's probably just my headphones then.
Yeah, one's a mute and one's a dot.
Yeah, it has a dot on it, but they call it an action button.
Surely, yeah. I don't need that. It just does its thing.
Because, yeah, you're just talking to it and it's supposed to answer. I don't know.
And then it's got that annoying light ring that's going to piss you off, isn't it?
Well, it's going to help for your bedside alarm clock or whatever.
And also, well, yeah, but this has been designed for assholes, hasn't it? Because the example is, add gelato to my shopping list.
You know, eat a lot of gelato.
What's wrong with ice cream? Just call it ice cream.
It's not as smooth as gelato. Hang on, I have to sort out this problem. It's doing me.
It is Siri in a box.
Yeah, it's basically Siri in a box with none of the good connections. I mean, so when you tell it to play music by Bruno Mars, as it gives an example of, I'm assuming that will work if you've got Bruno Mars in your Amazon Music library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I have not.
Unless do they do radio?
It doesn't look like it. I don't know how it would do that.
Yeah, it does do iHeartRadio.
Okay, so there's a companion smartphone app on Android and Fire OS. But everyone else, including iOS users, will need to access it via the web app.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Hang on, I've got to change microphone sockets here. This is terrible.
Oh, gosh. But it does say that it does tune into local radio stations, NPR and ESPN. Because you know you got to have your sports news.
Well, all the free ones that no one listens to.
Pretty much.
So we got an email from Philip, who said, "Hello from the wilds of Maine. Every time I check a tech site today, it's been wall to wall Amazon Echo. I confess, it looks both cool and creepy to me. What are your thoughts?" Well, I think we've just kind of covered that.
Yeah.
I've got a smartphone. Why do I need that?
It's $200.
Oh, fuck off. I definitely don't need it then.
It's $200. It's $99 if you're a Prime member and you get it now. But you've got it's an invite-only thing as well.
Well, I'm a member of Prime. Hang on a minute.
If you've got Prime and $200 to spend, you can't have one yet. Wait, because it's only Amazon.com. And you have to request an invitation to be able to buy it. So I imagine these are very limited in numbers.
Oh. Jeez.
Well, yeah. So nothing's appearing on
Prime members can get it for 100. Prime members can get it for 100.
Yeah, because they've already been bent over and shafted by Amazon. I'm bitter about the raising of prices of Amazon.
Well,
Prime.
Look, we got it before the prices went up, so it'll be due for renewal soon, I think.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I don't think I'm going to do it. Because the thing is that I've tried it again, next day delivery. We'll see if it actually comes this time, because they can't even get that right. And then they go, "Oh, we'll give you another month free, sorry."
Haven't experienced an actual next day delivery on one single occasion from Amazon Prime. Not once.
To be fair, I have, but they're so very few and far between.
You kind of want it to be every time you tick the next day delivery box, don't you?
Well, you would think.
And it never is. So there's just no way. And seeing as the price has gone up, what is it now? £129 or something like that? I'm just not doing it.
That's for a whole year, right?
I don't know if it will tell me because I'm already... here we go. Nope. That's delivery rates and policies.
Because on top of this, I think mine renews around my birthday. And I'm not spending 100-something-odd quid on something that pointless and meaningless around my birthday when I could get something more fun.
I haven't watched a single thing from the Prime Video store either.
No, neither.
Because they're always available on Netflix. So I watch it on Netflix because that's already set up. And that's if it's available on Prime, because it doesn't tell you. There's no category that I can find on the app that goes, just show me stuff I can actually watch.
Oh, yeah, they mix everything in together, don't they?
Yeah.
So, there have been occasions where I thought, oh, I'll watch that. And then they go, no, you'll pay for that. Like, I've already paid for that. You've not paid for this. Like, oh, we're like that, are we, Amazon? Fine.
I see your point. Yeah, I wouldn't renew it either.
I found something I can watch that I kind of almost want to watch.
What?
Uh-oh.
Non-Stop with Liam Neeson.
Oh, well,
Where is the Air Marshal? I'm going to add this to my watch list. Well, this is good. I'm going to go. I think I found the thing.
I hear a good thing about their own series, Transparent, with Jeffrey Tambor. That's apparently...
I want to watch that.
That's apparently very good.
Yeah, but it's only on Amazon. Okay. We heard it that time. But yeah, that's only an Amazon series.
Are any of their other ones any good? Because didn't they have John, what's his face in one of them? A political one with John.
They've got one with John Goodman.
Goodman, that's the guy.
And they've got one with Halle Berry as well. And I haven't watched it, but I think I saw Tristan try to watch it and say it was awful. So,
<There you go. laughs>
that said, you know, and I say this with all the love in the world, just because Tristan says it's awful doesn't mean it necessarily actually is.
Right. He's right. Okay. I have friends like that who say something's awesome or something's awful, and I watch it and go, that wasn't awesome or that wasn't awful.
Tristan's the kind of guy who will hand you a DVD and go, watch this. It's all shit apart from the last 5 minutes, but watch it. And you go, no.
Why would I do that?
You've just told me it's shit apart from the end. Why would I watch this film? There are so many films that are good all the way through. Or at least for more than just the end. Yeah, I think I'm going to be recording this crackle. This is what bothers me. Right, okay. I'm just set up as I was now. So we'll just go with this. We'll come back to Wirecast, because that actually looks... Oh, these guys make ScreenFlow, right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they make some awesome stuff.
I know ScreenFlow. I have that one. That one's all right. We'll come back to this. We're on the Amazon Tube. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, we have Philip's email, which we're now reading for the third time.
Yeah.
I've got to read it again, haven't I? Hang on.
Right. Yes, you do.
Read it again.
So, we got an email from Philip about the Amazon Echo.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And it says, hello... Hello all from the wilds of Maine. Every time I read this email, oh no, sorry, every time I check a tech site today, it's been wall-to-wall Amazon Echo. I confess it looks both cool and creepy to me. What are your thoughts? Well, we kind of answered that.
Yeah.
Already.
I mean, it would be impossible to say whether or not someone should buy one or not at this stage, because I've never seen one in real life and that sort of thing, but... There is nothing about it that compels me to want one, is all I can say. It does everything Siri does.
Okay.
And less.
Yeah, and less. And it doesn't, it's just basically a giant energy drink that sits on your desk.
Yeah, they seemingly think you're going to get one for every room. You know, you want a living room one, a kitchen one, a bedroom one, otherwise it's not going to wake you up. Or you're going to cart it around the house with you, which I don't think you're going to do. Because you're already carrying your phone that has all of this functionality built into it. Either big operating system. This is no better than either Google Now or Siri. And as The Verge are pointing out, even Cortana on Windows Mobile. Which I saw a demo of. I think that looks quite nice, actually. But not the Amazon Tube. Pringles can. Whatever. I don't like it. That's all I have to say. I don't like it. And I hate the video even more.
It is a bit
more.
Like... the video is awful. The video is awful. But it is a bit like a Pringles can, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you spell cantaloupe? Stupid man. Stupid man. And why couldn't the kid ask the box how to spell cantaloupe? And there's a T in it. Just saying. I'm done with this thing already. I thought we'd get a bit more mileage out of it, but I'm actually feeling disgust towards it the more we look at it. How good is it?
Should we move on quickly then?
It plays music. Yeah, how good is the speaker going to be in that? Really?
Well, looking at the design, it does have a subwoofer in it, so that's a thing, because most portable speakers are just, like, really tinny, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So this has, like, tweeters and woofers, which... is a step forward. So, I mean, you know, without actually hearing it, you can't really make that call.
And the house of the family that they demoed it in, you're waiting for, oh, and it plays music. What about the $3,000 you spent on that stereo system last Christmas? Does that not play music anymore? They've got they always show people in really nice houses, living beyond the means of their basic intelligence, those who can't spell and that sort
of
thing.
It's probably better than showing them in really shit houses.
I think that's
like
where
a really terrible
live.
Neighborhood where they're going to get burgled.
Yeah, I think that's where that family would live, because the parents are dumb. That's just my assumption of this fictional family. There, anyway, so that's it. You can get it, it'll work with your Fire Phone. So the guy who bought a Fire Phone will be very excited. His name's Jeff. Mr. Jeff Bezos. I think I expect them to have a warehouse full of these in a year. Put it that way. Should we move on? What were you saying, anyway?
Well, this...
Right, I should explain, because I've cut a load out for the listeners. The reason why we were laughing at the email isn't because of the email, but because Nick read it three times, because we've had technical problems, which hopefully I've been able to edit out. And that brought you to mention Wirecast.
It did.
Oh, hang on, It says buy starting at £495.
Really? Hang on.
Yeah.
The internet's being slow now.
Yeah, that's what it says.
£495. I mean, I own it. So I must have bought it for £495 at some point.
Is it just an app?
Yeah.
There's no hardware involved.
No, but it supports multiple hardwares.
Right.
So
That's a pretty expensive app.
$495, Richard.
Oh, sorry. That's cheap then. Now they've got version 6.
200 and something pounds. But it allows you to do virtual camera and microphone outputs to multiple outputs at the same time. So you can output a 1080p, 720p, and a virtual microphone. And you can output to any sort of Thunderbolt device or USB device that you have. Plus, you can stream to various web servers at the same time and do a local recording backup and all sorts.
You know, I haven't looked in on Ambrosia software for a little while to see if they still do anything, including Wiretap anyway. No, still the same version that didn't work on Lion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good work there, guys.
They've definitely abandoned it.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still selling it, right?
No, in fact, when you click the link for Wiretap Anywhere, it takes you to the page for Wiretap. Oh, no. I'm an idiot. Ignore me. Yeah, they're still selling it. It's still $129, and it still only works onto OS X Snow Leopard. That's it. 10.6 or below. So as I'm
But there's nothing that says that that's all it supports.
Yeah, there is. There's a system requirements. Requires OS X 10.5 to 10.6.8. Power PC or...
This is not compatible with Lion or Mountain. Okay.
Yeah, or but the two versions
of
the OS.
You have to click on the features to do that.
No, it's on it's on the page for the app.
Yeah, but if you just click Utilities and then go down to Wiretap Anywhere and hit Buy, there's nothing there that says...
All right, yeah.
You need to...
Yeah, I don't know if Wiretap Studio works with that. No, that just says 10.7 or later. So I don't know.
But Studio wasn't the same thing, though, was it?
No, it did a totally different thing. It lets you record from audio from a selection of different apps. It doesn't allow you to route audio like Wiretap Anywhere did. I still haven't found anything like that yet. And clearly I now need to spend more money on another fucking USB interface, which is great. I was really hoping that my less than £4 solution had solved the problem. It was my second attempt at that as well. I had another box that did fuck all once I plugged it in. Oh well. Let's go back to actual tech news then. I've lost my page.
So, well, Philip was, he did have another part to his email.
Oh, right, sorry, go ahead.
To answer Rich's question about the Android tablet, which is what most of our email is about this week.
Yeah.
My Android tablet is simply a media device for me and my grandkids. I do not work with it. I spend 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, banging away on a crappy Dell PC, so home time has little computer time. Now, why I use Android? I live a ways out in the country, and until recently, I only had one choice of a carrier for US cell reception. And again, until recently, all they carried was Android or BlackBerry. So I use Android. I'm like many people my age. I use the same phone until it dies, then pick up whatever Android I can get for a penny from a US cell carrier.
Yeah, my mum does something similar. It upsets me. Fair enough. I mean, lots of people had said something similar, you know, that it's a media consumption device. And that's pretty much it.
He does have a postscript that sounds a bit like a threat, if you ask me.
Yes, he did. He says, Rich calling me a mental motherfucker was a high point. When I'm in the market for a new target rifle, I'll ask him for his input.
Well, this was the dude who emailed in and said, should I buy like a Nexus 7 or a gun? You must remember this. And I was like, no, don't buy the gun. Because why do you need a gun unless you want to kill somebody? So I'm still on that page with it. We had another one saying, this person asked not to read his name, so I won't. He said, I have an iPad, an iPhone, and lots of other fun stuff, but over the summer I was given a Samsung Galaxy tablet for education. I use it almost every day in my classroom. Now, this is not because I'm at a nice school, but the educational apps are great, apparently, and you can push info to students' emails, accounts, and stuff like that. I get it. There are uses for these things. It's just not for me, I think. Oh, why have I lost all my email? That's annoying. Must have more than those two.
Ring, ring.
Stop now.
Oh, we do. We have more. Let's see.
I've had a lot of it.
Holy long email.
Yeah, then there was an...
Joe gave a really, really long one.
Yeah, there's quite a few that are really, really long, aren't they? Oh, actually, the one from Jim I quite like because there were two. And his first one was, hi, Rich and the gang. I thought I would try to respond to your question. What are Android tablets for and what do you do with them? I myself have recently purchased the 32-gig Nexus 7 tablet for 199 of my hard-earned English pounds, which was the most reasonable price for what I could get for my money for my first ever tablet. Here's what I do with it. Browse the internet, email, YouTube, TV and movie streaming, Facebook, Twitter, and porn. For all these things, the Nexus 7 works very well, and I'm happy with my purchase. That's great. But then he emailed me. He emailed some 10 minutes later going, forget that email. It's just crashed and died. I've had it 3 weeks. It's shit. So,
yeah, that was great. I love that he put porn in capital letters. Yeah.
perhaps we know why it died.
Yeah, they're not splash proof.
He also says he used to use £400 laptops for the same things, but that's before you told us not to on your show.
Yeah, fair enough. We had another email.
I can only assume, he continues, that the majority of Android users are using these basic features and don't require any elaborate software or hardware.
I think that's pretty much the gist of it.
He does ask another question, though. He says, for what I do on these laptops and tablets, would a high-end Apple product be the wisest purchase for me in the future? Well, it's not so much the future now, is it, Jim?
Yeah, it's like, now your Nexus is broken, what are you going to get? I don't know. I mean, I understand. If all you're going to do is go on the internet, what do you need an iPad Air 2 for? I get that. I really do. I think it... Which one you get depends on what you want to do with it or would like to do with it in the future. And if all you're going to do is the internet, maybe it's difficult to justify a big iPad. I understand. That said, an iPad Air is only £319 now. So that's
what, the original?
Yeah. One like yours.
Wow.
32-gig one is £359. Which isn't bad at all.
What's the 64? That's what I got.
They don't do those anymore. If you want 64 gig or bigger, you've got to go for the iPad Air 2. I join everybody in saying probably don't waste your money on the iPad Mini 3. Because it's... Yeah, I don't think that's a good deal at all. The iPad Mini 2, £239. That's not bad. That's only 30 quid dearer than his Nexus 7 for an iPad Mini 2. It's got the Retina display. It's got an A7 64-bit processor. Not bad at all.
Is it it's just the Touch ID and the spec bump, right?
No, just the Touch
ID.
That's why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why we didn't really cover it, because they did a good job of brushing it under the carpet, so to speak. The only difference between the iPad Mini 2 and the iPad Mini 3 is that the 3 has Touch ID and is available in gold. That's it.
Oh.
And it's more expensive. So the iPad Mini 3 at 16 gigs is £319, and the iPad Mini 2 at 16 gigs is £239. So you're basically paying around 100 quid for a gold Touch ID iPad. And as good as Touch ID is, it's not £100 good.
Bling bling.
Yeah. And don't get the gold one. So that's it, really. I'm not saying that people who bought Android stuff have pissed their money away. My original argument still stands, that you can't do with Android what you can do with iOS. And if you want to do any of those things and you get Android, you are just shit out of luck, basically. We had another email.
Yeah, we
there was a lot of email.
That one, okay.
Yeah, now this was a very lengthy one. And he's basically explained why I should shut up having to go to Android. And I can't really argue with any of his points. It's a very concise, well put together email. And basically, you know, he gets it. But yeah, the gist is like, just, you know, shut up for a bit. Because you do bang on about it, which I can't really argue with. Fair enough. So I'm not going to be down on Android. Do you know what? I'm gonna surprise you. Just for today, right? I've been updating some Google apps on my Android phone. And do you know what? They all look very nice. There you go.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's probably the Prime Minister calling to see if I actually really said that. But yeah.
It's Google calling, asking if you're okay.
Yeah. Look, bits of their new material design are starting to eke out. I don't have Lollipop on this phone yet because, well, it's an HTC phone, so I expect to see it maybe next year sometime if we're lucky. They have promised within 90 days, but it's like, that's like February next year. What are you doing to it that it takes this long? But it's all right. But it's the same problem with the tablets, that I can't do with the phone what I can do with the iPhone. You just can't. So,
mm-hmm.
But the new stuff looks nice. I think they're handling the look of Android pretty well. Of course, Samsung are screwing it up, but that is the nature of the beast. So I'm sorry that I've been mean to Android for so long. There. Does that help? Have I helped? I'm just going to stop being mean about it now. Yeah? Okay. Good. Let's talk about anything else. If you sent me an email about Android and we haven't read it, I'm sorry. It's not that we didn't read it. We just haven't read it out on the show, because I feel the point has been made. Just shut up, Rich. That's fine.
Okay, so how about we talk about Spotify?
I'd love to. What would you like to say about Spotify?
Well, killed its app platform after 3 years. I'm not exactly sure why, but
it was a bit rubbish. Did you ever?
Oh, it was? Okay.
Did you ever use it? Am I the only one with
not
Spotify?
Not the app, no.
Sorry, I've missed.
Their app platform.
Yeah.
Well, basically, if you use the Spotify desktop app, then you had access to some sort of app thing where developers could make something that basically plugs into Spotify and allows you to. Well, I think all it was ever really useful was sort of ornate playlisting and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So, you, for example, I think there was a Rolling Stone magazine one where you could go on there and it would have their album reviews, and you could obviously click and play the album
BBC
on Spotify.
BBC Playlister have got a thing on there.
Yes, yes, like that. And basically, they're shutting that down. I totally understand. It was quite. It wasn't a great experience, but on top of that, it only worked on the desktop apps. And I'm not entirely sure how committed they are to supporting those going forward. They seem to put a lot more effort into their web-based player, and I totally understand that. I have got the desktop app, but I don't know. It doesn't really make much difference. It's just one more thing for them to maintain as a company. It's no different in functionality to the web interface, and as I'm streaming all the music over the net anyway, it's no quicker. It's not like it's all stored offline. Although I think you can do that. Maybe I should do that. I don't know.
I think you can.
Yeah. But yeah, so the apps are going, and it won't be a great loss, I don't think. You know. When you said, should we talk about Spotify, I thought you were going to mention Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. I was going to segue into that, but okay.
Sorry, I ruined your segue. Taylor Swift took all the music off Spotify and said, nah, shit, I don't like it. But more
she didn't, though, did she?
Yeah.
I thought she kind of didn't give a reason, but has she given one now?
She's given one. She's, you know, she's actually quite an intelligent woman, breaking all stereotypes of me assuming that young pop girls are all stupid, but she's not. And she's actually got some quite clear, concise reasons for taking her stuff off there. Basically, I think the gist of it is I make more money if my stuff isn't on there. So, fair enough. And also, she has a problem with this idea that music should be kind of free. And I also agree with her on that, speaking as somebody that has a great deal of trouble getting people to understand that what I'm doing now is work. And sometimes...
The quote I've just found is... she pulled albums from free streaming service Spotify because she is not willing to contribute her life's work to an experiment.
I can't really argue with that. It says stuff, she can put it where she wants at the end of the day, but, you know, and only she knows what money she's making from various services. If you want to, I understand you get the way it works is, you know, traditionally she would sell a song and you would pay 99 pence or whatever it is now for a song when you buy it, and that's it. But with Spotify, she gets much less money every time you play the song, but it is every time you play the song. And the trouble is, when you look at the numbers, you have to play that song so many more times for her to get the same amount of money than if you bought it. More times than any person would reasonably listen to a song. And so I get it from her point of view.
Well, I don't know. There's people like her doing that, and then you got people like U2, who recently just put out a new album, and it's awesome, by the way. They put it out on iTunes for free, for a limited time for free. And Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor's done a similar situation where he had one of his albums out for free for a limited time and basically said, I don't care, here, go ahead and download it, as long as you enjoy my music.
Can I just add a little asterisk to the end of that? They didn't put it out for free. They gave it away to everyone for free, whether they wanted it or not.
Well, that's true. But still, it was a way for them to get their music out, and they realize that the times have changed, and, you know, it's just you can't expect people to act the way they did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, as far as the music industry.
The music industry as it stands is a relatively young thing anyway, which is something that's easy to forget about because it kind of came into being perhaps, I think, within our parents' lifetime. But... That's all it is. This whole idea that we're caught up so much on music being distributed in the way it is, it's a bit odd. We've not done it for long. I also think that the difference between U2 and Taylor Swift is U2 are always going to be there now. You know, Taylor Swift could disappear tomorrow, career-wise. It's unlikely because she's very popular at the moment, but, you know, come back in 30 years and we'll see how Taylor Swift's doing. Because 30 years later, U2 are still going, you know. And the same with, was it, did you say,
I will say I've known
well?
About Taylor Swift. I've known about Taylor Swift for years and years and years.
She's only 24. She's a child.
She wrote her first international hit song at 12 years old.
That's just showing off.
It is really
That's
showing
just
off.
Just showing off, that.
But I don't think she's going to disappear for a while.
No. What I'm saying is, I think once you've had a multi-decade career, your confidence in... not confidence. Just I think you're more inclined to go, yeah, sure, stick it on there, see what happens. You know? And you take it to the other extreme. There are some artists who are clearly not bothered about fans being able to hear everything they've done. Look what Prince does. You know, Prince did an album that came free with a newspaper... And if you didn't get that newspaper, done. That album's not out. You can't get that album. It's not on iTunes. It's not on anything. That album was done. That album came out with that newspaper on that day. And if you didn't get that, that is it. That was something that made Alison actually go out and buy a copy of the Daily Mail. Because she wanted that album. It's a pretty good album.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, remember, she's a huge Prince fan.
Yeah. He did another album that went along with the tour that he did. We got a copy of the album because we went and saw him live at the O2, and that was it. If you didn't go and see him live at the O2, you will never hear that album.
Well, Prince has always been a very, very, very good businessman as well as a great songwriter, by the way. I can see him doing that. And he can get away with it because he's been in the industry for
exactly.
forever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been making music since the late 70s. So, you know... He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He changed his name and nobody went, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
He became that symbol dude. And we all, well, we know why he did that. It was because he was pissed at his music label and he wanted to get out. But, I mean, of all people, Prince actually got away with it.
It's because he's so prolific. You know, I mean, like, that beef with his record label was because they wouldn't let him put out as much as he wanted to put out. Like, they were, it wasn't a case of them going, you'll do an album every year. And he's like, well, I won't have an album every year. They were saying, you'll do an album every year. And he's saying, no, I need to do one every couple of weeks because I'm writing this much music. And they wouldn't let him do that because that's mental. And it was certainly mental back at the time that he was trying to do. You might actually get away with that now with online stuff. But in the 90s, no, you had to have gaps between releases. Otherwise, you didn't sell stuff. I see the frustration from both sides of that argument. But again, yeah, that's somebody who's not ever going anywhere. There will always be Prince music played on the radio. Forever now.
Well, especially since he writes so many songs for other people, you know.
Exactly.
He's like the Bob Dylan of funk. You know, he's written so many songs for other artists that he's making buco bucks on songwriting.
Yeah.
Copyright.
Did you ever see...
Yeah,
a number of years ago, there was a documentary done by Elton John's partner about Elton John. And it was sort of a fly-on-the-wall documentary thing, him just touring his partner as he was on tour. Filming his partner on tour. Did I say touring on tour? And he was he asked him the question on film, like, what would you do if there was no more Elton John music tomorrow? And he wouldn't even answer. It was, that can't happen. That can't happen now. There will always be my music played on the radio forever. So I can't, you know, you might as well ask me what if there was no Gravity tomorrow. It's just never going to happen. Taylor Swift doesn't have that yet. She might well do. She might have a career that spans her entire life and goes really well. But... she doesn't have that yet. She has to be a bit more guarded with stuff and make what money she can right now because it could all go wrong. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't think like that. Maybe she's far less cynical than I am. But I don't blame her for pulling it off. Pulling her music off Spotify.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand why, but at the same time, it's kind of conceited, I guess is the word.
Yeah. I mean, the problem I also have is that I'm a 35-year-old man who knows who Taylor Swift is. That, on some level, makes me feel bad. I know some of her songs.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, you okay, that's like saying you like Twilight, Nick.
That is bullshit. That is absolute bullshit. Do you love Taylor Swift?
I love Taylor Swift.
Really?
I've seen Taylor Swift in concert.
Shut up. You are making this up. You are making this up.
Oh, my God.
This is a joke for comedy.
Okay, well.
This has to be.
All right, to make you feel better. To make you feel better, Nick, I like the Spice Girls.
Everybody likes the Spice Girls.
You can't really escape the Spice Girls. You couldn't really escape them. But no, Taylor Swift's awesome.
Do you know what the difference between the Spice Girls and Taylor Swift are? When the Spice Girls were big, I was 17. That's what the difference is. That was okay that I knew who the Spice Girls were. But now I'm a man, I'm a grown-up, and I don't have a daughter, so I should not know who Taylor Swift is. She's not for me.
You were 17, and I was 24? I was in my mid-20s when they got big, so I was a little above their usual demographic, but I still liked them.
Yeah, you were allowed to like the Spice Girls, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'm still slightly right. One of the, I know neither of you follow Formula One. One of the team bosses of the Red Bull boss is actually now dating Jerry Halliwell, and I'm like a little bit jealous of him. Just all that.
He's not from one of the teams that's gone bankrupt, is he?
No, Red Bull. No, fuck no. They've won the last 4 years of championships. They won't go bust. They've got Red Bull money. In fact, all of the teams that are perfectly fine have got money from other things, and the teams that went bust haven't. And that seems to be the common thing there. But enough of the fun.
Oh, actually, as a slight segue, that's kind of tech, kind of science. They did an actual scientific study. The UK did a recent study talking about the most catchy songs.
Wannabe
by Spice Girls was number one.
It makes no sense. It's in many ways a terrible song, but everybody knows that song, and it is painfully catchy. And it
See,
was.
See, I was a lot of people commented like, "Where's My Sharona by The Knack?" It was not on that list, and everybody knows that song.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's a good one. Mm.
And also, "What I Like About You" by The Romantics was not on that either. Not on that list.
I don't know that song by name. Might know it if I heard it.
What I Like About You. Oh my God. If no. You heard it, you would know it.
Right, okay.
Anyway, but that some songs on that list I got, and some of them were like, okay. But science, they actually did it. Your UK dollars pounds at work.
Thank you, scientists. That's great. Now, if you could get back to cancer and AIDS, we'd really appreciate that.
Exactly.
That'd be great. I have to jump onto this story that I've just seen on The Verge, because it's entitled "Will.i.am's Plus Smartwatch is the Worst Product I've Touched All Year." And I got a feeling no one should buy this. Music producer and generally positive dude Will He Is has dipped his toes more than once into the personal technology world. I'm not joining in with his crap name. I'm just not doing it. His latest venture is a wearable smartphone called the Plus, sold under his I Am Plus company. Shitting hell, what a dick. The Plus is a fully independent smartwatch. It has its own SIM card and doesn't rely on being connected to a smartphone to work. That's a shit idea. Oh, it looks awful. I'm just going to leave a link to that review of that, but the Plus is a stiff cuff that you wear around your wrist. It has a curved touchscreen on its surface and sensors to measure your activity. Instead of Android Wear, the Plus runs its own operating system that relies on swipe gestures to navigate. It's a thick and inflexible device that is not comfortable to wear. In fact, the unit I had didn't even close around my wrist. The screen is small and grainy. The operating system is neither responsive or intuitive. There are a few pre-installed apps for Twitter, Instagram, contacts. And the Plus has a dialer for making phone calls. A full QWERTY keyboard that requires two presses to type a single letter, one to zoom in and a second to actually input the letter.
Oh, that's stupid.
Oh,
that's
my
really stupid.
God, this is a thing. Oh, update. Will Hears' representatives have reached out to note that the version of the Plus Watch shown to me was an early developer model and the retail units will have newer software with much improved usability. Yeah, I bet they did. You know that thing you gave us a crap review for? No, it's going to be better when it comes out. Say that. It's going to be better when it comes out. Yeah. Will you please stop doing technology because you're awful at it? Well, I mean, if you want to do it, do it. I don't have to buy it, but honestly, I think you're wasting your time, mate.
I'll tell you right now, I'm sure we're going to get hate email and all sorts for this, but I do not like the Black Eyed Peas. I've never liked the Black Eyed Peas.
Why would you like the Black Eyed Peas? It's an exercise in marketing and PR. They're not a musical act.
Well, that and they just steal other people's songs and redo them.
Yeah.
Kind of like P. Diddy or whatever his name is now.
Well, do you know what? I would take it even one step further. No, they turn up and record whatever somebody puts in front of them. And it's just like they're a product. They're not a band or a group of people that decided to make music together. They're a marketing exercise. I fucking hate the Black Eyed Peas. They are the personification of everything that is wrong with the music industry.
Yeah, well, Fergie actually can sing and she has some talent, but oh my God, the group in general, I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
And
because it's let's put together a nice multiracial group that will please lots of people and sell lots of records. That's all it is. It's not about music. It's about ticking boxes. Basically, it's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. It is everything that is wrong with music. And to be clear, that is not me having a problem with people of multiple ethnicities and groups together or in the music industry. I just don't like it when they're positioned in that way just to become a product. You know? That it's a horrible, horrible thing. And I hate the Black Eyed Peas. So don't worry, Jen. However much you hate them, I hate them a little bit more.
All right, send your email to...
No, do you know what? I was prepared to hear from Android people. I don't want to hear from people that like the Black Eyed Peas and think they're a good group. Right, I don't want to know, because why send me an email to make me look down on you and feel superior to you? Why do that? There's no need to do that.
Oh, fair enough.
So I think about
okay,
that.
Shall we crack on with another?
Yeah, let's do
another
that.
News story.
I'll stay quiet in case one of you wants to segue.
Which one do we want to handle? What about Microsoft now lets developers run IE on Android, iOS, and OS X. Who the fuck cares?
Well, right now.
I tried to use IE the other day on a Windows storage server, 2008 revision 2. I could not even load the Microsoft website because all it does is pop up and go, oh, I blocked this. Do you want to unblock it? Yes. But I've still blocked it. Do you want to unblock it? Yes. I've still blocked it though.
Yeah.
Do you want to view it? Yeah. No, just fucking let me view it. No, I can't do that.
Now, I make websites, right? Jen, you've made websites, haven't you? So
yes.
You'll be aware of this problem. So
yes.
Just to explain it to our audience, when you make a website, there are what we call standards that you work to, and there is a governing body that controls these standards, and that's the World Wide Web Consortium. And they basically are some very clever people who decide on how languages should work and how they should be interpreted by a browser. And they control things like HTML5 and JavaScript and various other things, right? And we all agree on how these things should work, because you need to do that or you can't display anything. Makes sense so far, doesn't it? And browsers like Chrome or Safari or Firefox, they all took into account these standards and rules and display web pages accordingly, right? That's a good thing. Microsoft took a look at these standards and went, I don't think we're going to do that, but thanks, bye. And so the fact is that you could learn, say, HTML5 and CSS3, and you could know everything there is to know about it, and you could make a web page that works perfectly on Chrome and Safari and Firefox, and then when you run it in IE, it just goes to shit and breaks, because Microsoft have made up their own set of rules and standards just for their browser. And that used to be all right, to some degree, for that, from their point of view, because most people on the planet used Internet Explorer. And things aren't quite like that anymore. People use lots of other browsers right now. Certainly on mobile devices. You know, you're not using Internet Explorer on your Android or iPhone. And so as a developer, you face this question of, do I make sure my website works on IE and spend all the time and energy that it takes to do that? And honestly, in some cases, it can involve you basically, it can go as far as making you rewrite everything and putting in special rules. Do this, but if you're on IE, then do this. And it becomes a nightmare. So you decide, am I going to care about it or not? And my response has always been, I'm not going to care.
Yeah.
So that's why you would ever need to test your stuff on Internet Explorer, and I don't. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, everybody?
Okay, you got to remember way back in the beginnings when all the options you had was Explorer and like Netscape.
Yeah.
That's way back in the infancy. And you had websites that would only run on one or the other. And things have changed, obviously, in the past like 10, 15 years, but at one point, you only had one or two browsers to work with, and you didn't have a choice. There's actually still some sticklers out there that have websites that only run on IE, and it's annoying as shit, let me tell you. But for the most part, these days, yeah, you can run on almost any other. In fact, if you know somebody who's still running Internet Explorer on their computer, you're like...
Yeah, it's like, dude, look at Chrome. This is gonna amaze you. Just, you know, and the functionality of nearly every other browser is far superior. You can do more with Chrome. You can do more with Safari, Firefox, Opera. Pick a browser, just not IE, which is so shit. And you've got to be running Windows to run it. Well, that's the point of the story. Now you don't
not
have
anymore.
To be running Windows to run it. But yeah, historically, I'd have had to have booted up Windows just to see, does my website work? Oh, of course it doesn't. I've programmed it to web standards. So I have no sympathy for Microsoft regarding any story related to Internet Explorer. I hate it. This is just a things I hate episode.
Oh, yeah.
But
no, you haven't even talked about Android yet.
I'm not going to. It's not going to happen. I love Android this week. That's what it is.
Okay. Well, let's next.
New story. Okay. New story. What do we have? Bear with me. I'm just looking for something good. I've not added enough stories to the rundown this week.
Not much happened.
Warner Brothers Music became the first label to strike a licensing deal with SoundCloud. Can I talk about the things that I've not been supposed to talk about now? Because it's been...
Go on.
We have a deal with SoundCloud as well. And it's awesome. So, right, here's there's two things. So I'll do the SoundCloud thing for... I don't know how much of this... If I'd talked about stuff like this, tell me to shut up, right? So we now have... We are part of the SoundCloud partnership program, right? Which basically means they insert ads into our stuff on SoundCloud and we get money, which is pretty cool. It only works if you're in the US and use their player. But what I'm doing with it is it means basically everything that's on Simply Everything is being uploaded to various SoundCloud accounts and will be available without charge to people in the US, which is awesome for them. Everyone else is emailing me going, why can't I have it? I'm sorry, but in the US, that's what it is. And SoundCloud are partnering with lots of people. I was joked on Facebook that seemingly the tech press was only interested in Warner Brothers music and not so much in Simply Syndicated, but, you know, just one of those things, isn't it? So that's been it. That's what's been coming. If you look on the Movies You Should See SoundCloud page now, there's all of Year One is on there as well. So you can play all that if you're in the US. I do object to the fact that when you try to play something that you can't play, like if you're outside of the US, it doesn't tell you that you can't play it. It just doesn't work. So I've been getting email like, why can't I play this? And I've explained the situation 1,000 times. I've now got an email set up on Text Expander just to throw it out there. But it's not everything. It's just some stuff that only works in the US. It's just you can't mark it as that. I can only set it to be that. But if you're in the US, then it's all there. And it works on the app and it works on the website and anything you see embedded will work and it's all good. So that's what SoundCloud are doing. And so I think they've talked about doing a subscription service next year sometime, early next year, I think, where you'll be able to pay and get ads removed from stuff. And it all sounds pretty good. The other thing we're doing is we've partnered with another company called Acast, who have just launched here in the UK. And they're doing something similar, basically ad insertion into podcasts. And we're a launch partner, which is awesome. So we've started off, you can get the first episode of Ray Guns and Go-Go Boots, which I was especially pleased with, I must admit. And you can play it on their app, on our website. It will be out as a normal podcast as well. But I still need time to get that set up because I don't have an RSS feed for it yet. But as soon as I do, which will probably be tomorrow, then I can get that up and running. So that's it, really. Go and check out Acast. The Acast thing's pretty good because it lets me drop stuff into podcasts that are like links and videos and pictures and things like that. So, for example, if this show was on Acast, I could have a link to news stories that displays on your phone every time we talk about a new news story. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Exciting stuff. You're clearly both blown away by that. But it's all good.
I was
listening intently.
Yeah. It's all good stuff. Very exciting. So, in fact, go and listen to our stuff. It's coming up bit by bit. I'm actually learning a fair bit about the workings of SoundCloud from the point of view of what people listen to and what they find and how things work. I'm finding that people generally listen to just the latest thing you've posted. So as I've been uploading lots of stuff in a go, the early stuff doesn't get listened to, but the last one that I upload gets significantly more listens. So I think I might stagger the release of stuff rather than just uploading it all in one go. It's all experimental. I don't think even SoundCloud really know how this stuff's going to pan out. Because it's all new territory. You know, you've got to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty good so far. It's pretty good so far. So this is going to save Simply Syndicated and my life, basically. Because it's, yeah, there's money involved. It's good. Okay.
Good.
Yes.
That's a bit of Simply Syndicated news for you. Oh, and all the bollocks show is on my own SoundCloud page. So if you never heard that, it's quite an experience. Go and listen to me rant about shit 10 years ago. Clearly some people are listening to it. Anyway, let's move on. Right, that was SoundCloud. HDC.
Okay, you want to talk about the Twitter? Twitter launches new tool that lets women report harassment. Well, what about? I mean, guys get harassed too.
Well, yeah, not quite as severely or violently though. They needed to do something like this. It seems like a step in the right direction. especially with all the Gamergate stuff that's gone off. That was entirely directed at women.
Yeah, so. I was actually going to mention that, so this is a good segue. But yeah, it's as we talked about before, with the laws in place now in the UK against such things. I mean, yeah, this is a good step in the right direction, but how are they able to police that? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, they needed to improve their reporting process, which it looks like they've done. I mean, it's kind of... I don't think you can... Okay, so if you have a party at your house and invite a load of people over, it's kind of your responsibility to ensure that those people are not going to murder each other. You can't just go... It's illegal to murder, so nothing will... Oh, you can't you? Oh, I'm talking shit. That was a bad example. Ignore me. My iPad's going off because of Siri. I don't know what I said that made it think it should respond to me then. I feel Twitter are responsible for the way people are treated at their party. Does that make sense? It's their website. They need to do something. It's all well and good saying, well, it's illegal in the UK to abuse people on the internet. That's great. But you as Twitter should be doing something to prevent this from happening, or at least making steps to reduce it as much as is humanly possible. And it's taken them a long time to do what feels like not a lot. You know, people have had to move out of their houses and stuff, and it took you a long time to just go, we've made the form more complicated. It's I'm a bit angry with Twitter at the moment, to be honest with you.
I've kind of stopped using it a bit, actually.
That's my problem. I haven't. I kind of I think I've said this on this show. I kind of just, Twitter suits me just putting out a sentence of mindless drivel. And I kind of enjoy it. I don't know if anyone else does. I don't know if it's worth reading at all. My Twitter followers rarely go up. But I do like it. I don't think Twitter as a platform is a bad thing. It's just they needed to do something more to protect people using it. And it's taken... I think this is a case of it took them a long time to not do much, really.
Well, it might be in response to the Gamergate stuff is why they're doing it. Of course, they probably also got some signature complaints aside from that. But for those who are not aware, for those who have been living in a cave, there's been this thing recently through Twitter and a couple other platforms on the internet where some gamer women who talk about, basically they're feminist gamer females. And some of them have been harassed through the internet through various means. It started with one gal, her ex-boyfriend accused her of sleeping around. And it kind of expanded into a whole bunch of other critics. In fact, one of them, who I actually like her, is Anita Sarkeesian, I think is how you pronounce her name.
Yeah.
She does a lot of feminist critic stuff. She actually got threatened if she didn't stop doing what she was doing, someone was going to shoot up their school.
That was someone saying she was going to do a talk at a conference or a convention, and someone said they'd do a Columbine style massacre if she turned up and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this it all started with the guy getting dumped by his girlfriend. His girlfriend was a game developer. She had slept with a game reviewer. And he accused her of sleeping with a game reviewer to get a good review of her game, which was totally bullshit because the game reviewer in question never reviewed her game, kind of eliminating his argument altogether. However, what he did do was go on to 4chan, post all her personal details, and tell 4chan to get her. It was then done under the guise of sort of combating corruption in gaming journalism, but it was basically just hatred of women. Because first of all, if there is, I don't think there can be such a thing as corruption in video game journalism, because it's such an insignificant thing that doesn't matter at all to the human race. You know, it's like, you can't be upset about video games to the point where you feel you should threaten to kill somebody, because they don't matter that much. Mm-hmm. I compared it to MasterChef.
But it's mostly women that they've been targeting, and it's just horrendous.
It is entirely women that they've targeted, and it's been, you know, horrible. Absolutely horrible. We did a Do Ask Do Tell devoted to this, and it was actually quite good. It's worth a listen. And, you know, I think because we had Simon on there who explained the problem much more clearly than I would. So it's, yeah, go back and check that out. So Twitter have been very slow to respond. Their users have been going through hell and back, and they've been very slow to do anything whatsoever. And I've got a feeling this feels like not enough, and it took them too long to do it. We'll see how it goes. I'm not being bullied on Twitter, so I don't know.
And they really need to do it on Facebook. I mean, I personally have been attacked on Facebook by people, but not from anything gamer-wise, but for something else entirely. But still, I mean, I've been attacked. And I had to block those people to get them off my wall because my relatives and stuff could see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's some people that just for some reason, and we've discussed this before, there's just some people out there that just want to watch the world burn. And one little tiny thing sets them off and they just kind of go nuts. And they figure, well, if I put it on the internet, you know, it won't come back on me.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. And we've just become this absolutely... You know, just, I don't know, this in general, because it's text and because it's faceless, we've kind of become so apathetic against other human beings, and it just drives me insane. It's like there is a feeling person on the other side of that screen. You just don't get it or don't care, you know. And this Gamergate stuff is a perfect example. It's specifically going against women who are intelligent and have an opinion, and maybe not an opinion that you share, and you're entitled to that. But attacking them in this manner is just
so hideous.
It's heartless. It's just entirely heartless.
Absolutely.
And I can say that from a personal point of view because it's happened to me. And, you know, just...
In fact, I think
just realize that there is...
Sorry, carry on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, of the three of us, I think only Nick hasn't suffered any form of...
Yeah, you have too, Rich. Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Probably.
Well, if you haven't, I'm going to just... Yeah. Hang on, I'm just opening a new Twitter account so I can send you some stuff.
Yeah, do it, go on.
I'll have you in tears by the end of the night. It'd be great.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. I mean, it's...
You're going to get a new friend request on Facebook from someone you don't recognize. Just accept that, okay? Not quite yet.
Rarely accept people I do know on Facebook.
Well, I can't bully you online if you don't accept me as a friend.
Facebook bully has requested a friend.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hang on.
No, that's not me. I'm not that quick.
Report that.
Yeah, report that one.
Oh, sorry. That's the account I'm logged in as. Sorry.
Oh no.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not that into conversing with people. I don't know.
Slag off Android for a bit. See where it gets you.
I think it's because Rich and I were both involved with something that we were the heads of, like, because
Rich, maybe
yeah. So it's usually when you're the owner or the head manager or general manager of something, you will be the target of stuff because you're the face person of said corporation or establishment.
Yeah.
So you just, like, you know, if you're the prime minister or the U.S. president or whatever, you tend to be the target of stuff, even though you have people under you that probably cause the problems to begin with.
Hell, the Queen joined Twitter, and her first reply was abuse. It took apparently. I'm told it took 4 minutes. She tweeted something, and the first one was, "Welcome to Twitter. Abdicate." And that took four minutes, and then it just carried on from there. Bless her. I don't think she's reading it, though. I don't think she's reading it.
She's probably not. She has people who read it for her, is probably what goes. But, it tends to be people who are the heads of stuff who tend to get the most brunt of the abuse. But still, it's people are just there are some people who are just absolutely wonderful out there, but there are others who just get on this rant and all you can do is just sit there and take it. Cause if you respond, it just half the time it makes you look even worse. I mean, in my situation, I did respond and I just ended up getting more hate. So I just stopped being on Facebook for 3 months and let it die. You know, that's all I could do. It's all you can do is you either respond or you just go quiet and let it die off.
Don't feed the trolls.
I was in tears, and I'm sure Rich, you were too, to when it happened to you. Because I saw some of your blog posts and stuff where you were so pissed off, especially about Make It So and all the people bitching about that. It's just, I don't know. It's something about technology has made human beings in general more mean.
Do you know, I don't think that's true. I think what we're seeing is the people who would generally do these mean things generally wouldn't get out and interact with people all that much before. And now you can sit at home and not really interact with anyone, but still really interact with people, if you see what I mean. I think that Twitter is just giving these people a voice. I think they were always there, but now they don't need to go out to abuse people. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. And that
you know what? I think it's the people who were bullied in school when they were kids, and now they have a chance to bully people back.
And that people with severe mental problems. I think it demonstrates a great lack of care about what other people think and feel. A great lack of empathy. I think these people will be unbalanced and unhinged if you met them face to face. You know, they're not right, so to speak. There's something wrong there. There's got to be. Let's move on.
Well, yeah, there's... Okay, let's...
let's move on. We've done this, and now I'm just attacking people who will attack me on Twitter, which is no good. The Nexus 6 is coming out in the UK, everyone. It's £549 for the 64-gig version.
Holy shit.
Holy cow.
Well, that's... Ugh. That's actually not awful. It's just more expensive than previous Nexi. Isn't it? I mean, you can't buy an iPhone 6 for £549. In fact, I'm guessing they're around the £700 mark, I would think. I don't know how much they are. I've never bought one. Oh, no. iPhone 6 from £539. I had no idea. That's much cheaper than I thought they were. So for £539, you can get an iPhone 6. Or the slightly more expensive Nexus 6. No, wait. We should compare. You want the 64-gig iPhone, which is £619. Compared to the 64-gig Nexus 6, which is £549. Yeah, the iPhone is still more expensive. Of course it is. It's an expensive phone. It's still a 6-inch thing, and I still don't like that, but that's just me. But now if you do like that and you're in the UK, you can order one. It's coming soon, apparently. And comes with Google Play Music, free for 6 months. That's not a bad deal, really. You've just got to hand out a large wadge of cash to get one in the first place. It might be available subsidized through a carrier at some point. I don't know if it's coming.
I would imagine it would be.
I don't know if it's coming to 3 or something. I'm just looking up, because they have the Nexus 5 for ages. So they might well have the 6. Why did they have... They used to have a coming soon section. And I can't find it now. Bounce up by... No. They don't even have a Motorola section. Never mind, ignore that. I'll cut that. What else do we have? Is there anything else? It's been actually quite a quiet week.
It has, really. I'm kind of trying to find things, and there's not much.
I saw that there's a Bluetooth padlock now available.
I have nothing that I padlock.
Let me pull it up. just came out recently. Yeah, you can. It's a padlock that you can lock from your phone. An actual, like, physical padlock that you can lock from your smartphone.
Not a
bad
idea.
So it doesn't have a combination on it or a key. Yeah, and it's done by Noki, not Nokia. Not, it's called Noke, Noki, Noka. Yeah, but it's a Bluetooth enabled padlock. I just think it's cool.
Did you see that there's a hotel chain that are starting to eliminate room keys? So you just use your phone to do it, which strikes me as a great idea. To be honest, I'm up for that. I really am. Eliminate everything that I have to carry with me apart from my phone. I'm on board. That's not a bad idea at all.
Especially since those little cards tend to either get locked, you leave them in your room by accident, or you lose them when you're out.
Yeah.
It's very easy to lose those darn things. So having it with your phone, because you always have your phone with you. Well, most of the time.
No,
so,
I
yeah, that's
always
a, that's a
phone.
Really good idea.
Did we have any email that wasn't telling me off about Android? No, we did.
We did?
We did. We had one from John who bought a Windows phone.
That one. Okay.
Yeah, he asked us about what we thought about Windows Phone, and he went and bought one. So he's written in to tell us what he thinks of Windows Phone. This is good. Right, he says, a few shows back I asked for your opinions on the Windows Phone platform. You didn't manage to convince me not to get one, so I did. Okay, I thought I'd give you Apple fanboys my opinion. And Jen. Now, before you go judging away at my purchase, this is what I commonly use my phone for. Making and receiving calls, texting and IMs, email, photos, and apps like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud. He ended up getting a Nokia Lumia 1020, which I think is one of the huge ones. He says he loves everything. I'll read it rather than trying to paraphrase it. I love how everything in the UI experience looks the same across all of the apps I use, and the subtle animations were gorgeous but didn't overtax the phone's hardware, so everything was still buttery smooth. Everything just worked the way I expected it to. Since the UI isn't mangled beyond recognition with all kinds of skins, I get updates as they're released, and it doesn't feel like I'm at the mercy of the handset maker for said updates. That is one advantage to Windows Phone. They went with the Apple model on there.
Yeah.
The design of the handset was actually considered for when they thought of features, something Android makers don't take into account much. Either that or they're just horrible at it. What I mean by this is that... Hang on, it's getting small for my old eyes. The type of display and the UI work in unison to extend battery life to such an extent that I don't get panic attacks when I forget my charger cord. Fair enough. It's got great battery life. Picture quality is amazing, and the Lumia camera app is the best camera app I've ever had the pleasure of trying. What he didn't like, popular services don't have Windows apps. SoundCloud and YouTube don't have apps, and you have to find third-party apps that work. But he says he did. So, you know, not the end of the world. Another thing he misses from Android Phone is the presence of a share button everywhere. Fair enough. And the Windows Phone has no sense of app presence. What I mean by this is if someone sends me a YouTube link, I can't choose to open it in my YouTube app. It automatically hops on Internet Explorer to open the desktop version of the site. Thank you, Joe. That's pretty much what I expected your experience to be like, I'll be honest with you. It just needs apps. I'm just really curious to try one out for a bit. Just to have a go. I don't think it would replace my iPhone yet, but I don't think it's going to be awful. I really don't.
Well, from what I've figured out, Windows phones, nothing against Joe or anybody else who has one, but is that it's meant for people who can't handle a more technical phone. It's like the dumbed down version of a phone.
Well,
because it has all these really beautiful color buttons that you just press and it opens it automatically for you and you don't have to search for anything.
What's wrong with that, though? I mean, why shouldn't something be as easy as it can be?
I don't know. Some people just don't like that, and some people do. It's all about preference.
That has always, I think, been that's the Mac versus Windows argument again, and the Android versus iPhone argument. that, you know, I remember back when we were still arguing over OS X and Windows, was that people would complain that OS X is a lot less, you can't fiddle with it as much. And my response was always, but I don't want to fiddle with it. I specifically want one that does not require fiddling. And you'd sometimes just get blank stares from Windows. You're like, why would you not want to fiddle with the computer? Like, because I've got something else to do. Being on the computer is not what I'm doing. I'm using the computer to achieve other goals. And so I don't want to sit and fuck with stuff. And, you know, that's fine. So I totally understand why people would want that on their phone. And that is partly my problem with Android over iOS, is that it's a lot more fiddly. There's lots more stuff to worry about, and you need to know about the inner workings of the phone and stuff, and you don't need to do that with Windows and iOS. And I personally much prefer that way.
Yeah, some people do, and I'm one of those people who prefers to fiddle. I like fiddling. Make it personalized, so to speak. That's what the fiddling, that's what a lot of people fiddle with it for, is to personalize it. Some people prefer that, and some people don't. Windows, you can't really personalize it at all. It's there, the Windows phone. So,
Sorry, I just suddenly got distracted. Can you? You can't customize Windows 8, can you?
I don't have Windows 8, so I don't know.
It used to be a thing. I mean, I think it used to be a thing on the Mac as well, that people would worry about skinning their desktop and change menu bars so they were just unreadable and put ridiculous fonts everywhere so that you couldn't read anything. And then that's kind of just gone away, and you can't really do anything with OS X and haven't been able to for a long time. And I don't think even Windows 8 you can really customize a great deal. I don't have that much experience with it. I might be talking shit. I know with Windows 7 there was a last blast at sort of make your own theme. But other than that, yeah, it's only Android that has made a push for that on phones, I think. iOS is only interested in letting me choose a wallpaper and a ringtone, but that's pretty much it. The rest is up to Johnny Ive, because he knows better than me. Anyway, what were you going to say?
No, you're fine. Windows 7, there is a way to redo the theme, but it's really complicated, and even I am like, I've actually skinned a computer, and I had to go back and fix it because I was trying to put a theme on it. I don't know. Windows 10 may bring that back when it comes out. I'm not sure. Windows 8, I haven't really fiddled with, but from what I hear, yeah, there's less fiddling you can do with it.
Yeah.
But it was also mostly meant for touch screens and stuff. So, I don't know. I have Windows 7 on mine. So.
Yeah, me too. See, my sister has an Android phone, and she customizes the shit out of it, and it's awful. It's awful. Instead of using the system font, she's put like a handwriting font on there. So you just can't read anything on it. Nothing makes sense.
Wow.
She's a law unto herself. Yeah. And I've shown her my iPhone, and she looks at it and sort of squints and holds it away. Like, oh, I can't even look at that. What, is it too readable? Is it just too clear? Is there not enough bright purple on the menu bars? What's your problem with that? Sure, I'm not accepting that argument. Like, you might prefer the way something looks over another thing, but you're not telling me you look at iOS and go, what, I can't even read that. Shut up. That's just lies. Of course you can read it. But then she's mental. And I've got to tell you, do you know what my mum did this week? She got to the end of her mobile phone contract and kept her phone. I'm just ashamed.
See, some people do that. People do that.
It's a Galaxy S3. Three. And she just likes it, and she knows how it works, so she didn't want to get rid of it. I don't know. That kind of attitude. You're supposed to just buy the new phone, aren't you, all the time? I thought that's how it worked. Probably just me that does that. Oh, well. subconsciously building up to saying, so I'm going to get the iPhone 6S. When that comes, I'm not. I can't. That said, we'll see how much money we make from SoundCloud and Acast. I might just buy everybody an iPhone 6S. You never know. I'm going to send Nick
and you get a
month
phone,
later.
And you get a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be like Oprah. Woo! That would be nice.
You're still there, Nick.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Thought so, yeah.
I'm definitely still here.
Hadn't heard from you for a while.
Definitely not browsing Amazon.
What are you buying?
I'm not. I'm trying to work out what I want for Christmas.
There you go.
Sorry. I am still listening, and if I had anything extra to say, I would chime in. But I really don't. You're covering it all so well.
Thank you. I'm curious to know now. What do you want for Christmas?
I don't know. Don't know. Just browsing what computer games are coming out.
I need to update my wish list.
I've already said. I do. Oh shit! Yeah, I do too. Considering I just bought a load of stuff from it.
Oh, new headphones.
I mentioned to. Yeah, new interface. Maybe some new cables.
Yeah. Oh, my wish list got some right crap on it. I'd better get rid of a lot of this stuff in case I get bought it for Christmas. Don't buy me a USB hub, everyone. I don't. That's not a present. That I just bookmarked a thing. I'm actually going to remove it. And that keyboard, that can go. Portable iPhone charger.
See, I've still got Xbox One on my wish list and no one's bought it for me yet.
Damn them. Look, I was actually having this conversation with my dad the other day. I put some ridiculous shit on my Amazon wish list because you never know, right? Does Richard Branson listen to podcasts? Maybe he does. Maybe Richard Branson likes the Tech Support Rich show and he thinks, fuck it, I'll buy him a 60-inch telly. There you go, Rich, have that. You never know. But unless that 60-inch TV is on the wish list, it's never going to happen, is it? You don't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So put anything you can dream of on there. Because, you know, Tim Cook's got an iPhone. He's got the podcast app and plenty of cash. You never know, he might be feeling generous and love this show.
Speaking of which, the podcast app on the iPhone is fucking terrible again.
Why? What, they've not done anything to it.
No, but they updated the OS, didn't they?
Yeah.
And every time they do that, it breaks it. It just keeps forgetting where I'm at when I'm playing podcasts. So every time I get in my car, it's starting again, basically.
I think I'm the only human being alive that doesn't have a single issue with that app. I think it's
just
me.
Well, I haven't for many versions. But it's just recently it's decided to screw it all up.
It is the app I use for podcasts. So I don't know. I've never had any trouble with it. I didn't like it when it was a reel-to-reel tape player. That was a shit idea. But it's...
Yeah.
You know, since they made it not a reel-to-reel tape player, it's been pretty good. But I hear a lot of complaints about it. You're not the only person I've heard complain about it in general. So clearly there are issues there. I just haven't had them. At all. How are you getting on with your bigger phone this week, by the way?
Yeah, it's fine. Ever since you taught me that thing about double tapping the home button, it's the best thing in the world.
Good.
I can reach things.
I knew you'd like it in the end.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I do.
I will admit, you know, it's slippy, though. I do have to really be careful when I'm holding it. Because I think I could drop this soon. Other than that, it's perfect. Unless you like Android, fine too. That's
I got a cover for mine, so it's not that slippy.
Did you say you got the official one or just a one?
No, just a one from the internet.
Right. I could do with another one.
Oh, that really narrows it down.
I don't know what make it is. Ringke. A Ringke Slim. It sounds European.
Fragili.
Yeah, it must be Italian.
Sounds French. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I think we're about done.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is it. This is the end. This is the end.
Just kill it now. Come on.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don't forget, you can get a .com domain name from GoDaddy for just 69 pence or 99 cents. That's fuck all. Use the offer code LEAVE69 at the checkout. Or I think the other one still works, LEAVE30. That gets you 30% off an order of new products and stuff. I still recommend Microsoft Office 365. I've still got my 10 terabytes of unlimited storage. I got an email from them saying, we know it says 10 terabytes, but if you need any more, just let us know. So, that's fine. Oh, and that was Microsoft Office apps are free on the iPhone now. There's a Word and an Excel and a PowerPoint for iPhone. And they're pretty cool.
Is that for reading only?
No. It's for reading and editing. You still need an Office 365 subscription to get every feature. I haven't gone into depth as to what is available for free and what isn't. But it's pretty cool. I like them more than the Apple ones. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I prefer Word to Pages on the iPhone and the iPad, and consequently on the desktop. That's just me. Don't tell Tim. Sorry, Tim. I would still like that 60-inch TV. That's, if you want to email us, take it or leave it at simplysyndicated.com. If you're in the US, go and check us out on SoundCloud. There's shit tons of stuff and there's going to be more. It's going to take me a while to upload it because there's literally 10 years of content. So give me a minute. But there is some stuff up there already. And Ray Guns and Go-Go Boots just came out, which is well worth a listen. We do the Twilight Zone in episode one. Me and Marius.
Nice.
Yeah, he's back home from the Starbase now. And so we're doing a show about science fiction television in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So we're going to talk about some right shit coming up. I don't know what we're doing next, but that's there. I might even put Shaken Not Stirred on SoundCloud, you know. I might do that.
Oh.
Might do. We need to record another one of those. Have you watched The Spy Who Loved Me yet?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
I've been busy, I'm afraid.
You Sorry. And your life we'll with stuff you've got to do.
How dare I?
If only you were barely a step above unemployment like me, we'd bang this stuff out daily. But no, you've got to have a job and responsibilities and I don't know what you like. Right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with another episode of Tech It or Leave It. Bye-bye.